It is a studio we will be seeing a lot of this week, and we have already Adam Bjarnason, Michael Holton with you for this Wednesday night, Trailblazers courtside, March 20th. As always, presented by Pacific Power. Glad to have you on board. We've got a fun and lively show for you tonight. We really do. But first, let me tell you, there's a number of outlets for you to take part in tonight. There's right here on the TV side of things on Comcast Sportsnet. There's also the Trailblazers Radio Network and, of course, streaming live on trailblazers.com. Michael, you always know about this whole Twitter thing, and we use a hashtag when we want people to ask questions of our guest tonight. We've got, well, I'll tell you who we've got coming up in a little bit. But the hashtag tonight is?
Courtside.
TB Courtside.
TB Courtside. Yeah. Hashtag TB Courtside.
You were all about the hashtag. All right, so a rock solid lineup for you tonight. And this is the Courtside Tip-Off presented by Standard TV and Appliance. On the show tonight, we'll be joined by Blazers team president Chris McGowan. He's going to be in studio with us from 6:15 until about 6:30. So many things to touch on, but if you've got a question for him, hit us up. We're also going to talk about the great season ticket renewal numbers. And let's find out what's the latest with the arena naming rights and hear who he's got also in the NCAA bracket. Chris Haynes, Trailblazers insider from Comcast Sportsnet, joining us at 6:35. We'll catch up with him in Chicago. Get the Bulls tomorrow. It's kind of don't look in the rearview mirror now, only look ahead. The Bulls have lost three of their last four. What do you see about the Bulls tomorrow night?
Well, I think the Trailblazers are going to respond to the last game positively. So I think the Trailblazers are going to take a good swing at the Bulls in Chicago.
Well, they're a team that can definitely be beat. They lost by 42 points in Sacramento this last week. So the Bulls, they're a little...
Are they a little distracted? Kind of is Derrick Rose coming back? Is he not coming back?
I think that might have a lot to do with it right now. But certainly they are not playing at their level that they're accustomed to. All right, so... get the Bulls tomorrow. We'll touch on that. We're going to also talk about the first two legs of this five-game road trip. We will do that. We're going to break away for a moment, though. But when we get back, we'll get the show underway. Thoughts on last night, a look ahead for Portland. Then at 6:15, we're going to have Trailblazer president Chris McGowan. It is March 20th, 2013. Did you know this? The first day of spring, Michael Holton, felt like anything but spring today.
It felt like spring. The sun was out.
Yeah, but we didn't have our golf clubs out.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Not yet.
That, to me, signals the start of spring. Adam Bjarnason, Michael Holton with you. Glad you are aboard with us for the latest edition of Trailblazers Courtside. And Trailblazers Courtside off and rolling. You can see what we've got right here. We've got our respect t-shirts. Of course, this is part of the anti-bullying campaign that, there you go, Holton. Flex it, baby. And this is, of course, that Damian Lillard is the team spokesman for. And it's, to stand up for the rights of others and respect others. So we're going to talk about this coming up here in a little bit. And people probably want to know where they can get these. And we've got Trailblazers team president Chris McGowan on the show tonight. He's in studio from 6:15. Down to 6:30, so we'll ask him all kinds of questions about this campaign and where possibly you can get one of these. They're really nice. And so let's talk about last night, Michael, because while this is still fresh in a lot of people's minds, the Blazers down by 27 at halftime. They nearly pulled the rabbit out of the hat last night. If they can come out in the first half like they do in the second half, things would be A-OK, but sense of urgency really kind of starting to settle in right now with this team.
Yeah, because what happens this time of year is playing catch-up is harder.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the year, the Trailblazers reeled in a number of teams, from behind. And the Trailblazers are confident when behind that they can get back in the game, and they consistently do that. But when you dig that hole, it gets harder because teams are better. The continuity is better. Mm-hmm. And so you just really can't afford to fall behind.
All right. Well, a team that is digging a hole right now is a team that currently has a 23-game win streak. We will touch on that when we get back on the other side of the break, along with having Trailblazers team president Chris McGowan join us. We've got a seat reserved just for him. Over here. Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, continues right after this time. Be next in line for 2013-2014 season tickets. Reserve your spot today and get an invitation to our open house event and receive priority seating over the general public. Season tickets offering the best seats, the best value, and the best benefits available. Call 503-797-9600 and you could be next in line. We are so thrilled to have Trailblazers team president Chris McGowan joining us. He is live and in living color. Last time we had you on courtside, we had you on by phone, and I believe you were in South Beach.
I was. Yeah, you're bringing back good memories.
Yeah, I bet.
It was hard to concentrate, but hopefully I did okay.
You did great. Let's talk about this anti-bullying campaign. Obviously, we just teased that in the last segment, talking about these t-shirts and the respect and everything. What has been the response? Because you have such an amazing person kind of spearheading this campaign in Damian Lillard. He's just been absolutely tremendous and is very 100% heartfelt, you can tell.
Yeah, I think the response has been people are really impressed that he's dove in and, you know, gotten behind this initiative. And the other thing I hear a lot is, you know, why aren't there more doing this? Because it's such a topical issue and it resonates really well with everything that's going on in society. So a lot of people are thankful that us as an organization are jumping into it. And then you have Damian Lillard eloquently getting behind it, which is something that's totally unique. And we're having a lot of good organizations come to us and want to get involved as well.
Chris, a little bit about the campaign. Is it national? Is it regional? Is it an NBA thing? Where did it originate?
Well, it originated here. Hopefully it becomes national or regional because it's a message that resonates everywhere. So it's something that, you know, starting here and, you know, we'll just see where it builds from there. But it's a good program. And, you know, our fans are, everyone wants to support it, fans, other organizations. And, you know, we're getting other teams are calling and asking about it. So I think it's something that's going to blow up, frankly.
Well, we know fans are asking about these t-shirts. They're like, how do we get our hands on some of these?
Yeah.
You have to take the pledge first. Is that true?
Yeah.
In order to get one of these?
You just go online and you'll see. You can take the respect pledge.
Okay.
And you fill out some information and voila, one will show up in the mail.
Yeah. That's big time. I know my son was home for spring break and he took the pledge and he couldn't wait to get back to Vermont with his t-shirt. So Not only did the message resonate, but he wanted to represent on the East Coast. So I think it is something that's going to pick up steam.
Right. We should create a long sleeve version. So he can take it back to Vermont with
it. Yeah, he needs it. He sent me a picture, and there was a lot of snow on the ground in Vermont.
My kids want these, the right. Bands.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm bringing those home.
Okay, and the wristbands all part of it as well. Well, let's talk about, you know, kind of where we are with you, you know, kind of leading this team and the business aspect of things. I know that, you know, we're talking about doing arena naming rights. And where do we stand in that process right now? Because it's huge money. I understand that from a business aspect. And it's something that's probably been long in the – I know it's been – tons of people have talked about it here in this community for a long time, saying this arena needs to have a name, a corporate partner attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, the process started about a month ago. I've been pretty vocal about us trying to go out and find a good partner to come on and be the naming rights partner for the Rose Garden. So, you know, we hired a company called Premier Partnerships to come in and help us, and we're creating the strategy and having preliminary conversations right now. And we have a lot of great conversations with a lot of great brands, both local and national, that view this as a very interesting proposition. You know, being able to come into a great market like Portland with great fans like we have in an NBA building is something that is valuable to a lot of people out there. So I've been really encouraged by the amount of conversations we're having. We're so nowhere near a deal because it's so preliminary. But certainly, you know, we're going to go through the process and we're going to be very thorough. And if the right deal is to be had, we're going to do it. And the fortunate thing is we don't have to do a bad deal, or we don't have to jump into something that doesn't make sense for our organization, doesn't make sense for Portland, because the Rose Garden name is something that, you know, our fans are connected with. So we're very conscious of that. And we're just going to go through the process and see where it ends up. And ultimately, if we get it's something that makes sense, we're going to do it. And if we don't, you know, we'll just move on and work on a lot of other things that we have as priorities as an organization.
Chris, talking about fans and deals and timing, season ticket renewal, we just kind of came through a significant point in time about that. Can you talk about how that has gone, or how well it's gone, or did we hit the benchmarks?
Yeah, we have, and we still have a couple weeks to clean everything up. But originally, we were trying to get 85% of our season ticket holders renewed by last Friday. We're past that, and it's looking like we're projecting to be over 90%, which is a great statement. And, you know, it just speaks to how good our fans are. I mean, they're so passionate about the Portland Trailblazers, and I think they're believing in where we're going as an organization. They're believing in what Neil's doing as a general manager, and they're really excited about the future. The team has played really, really competitively this year, and some of the games at the Rose Garden have been really exciting. So, you know, that's a great statement, and our fans are supporting where we're going as an organization, and we're looking, you know, over a 90% renewals is something that, you know, a lot of teams don't get to say they're doing. So we're very, very happy about that.
Yeah, few teams right now are even sniffing that territory. All right. Tomorrow is one of the most unproductive days of the year for people in business. Did you know that? Because tomorrow's the first day of the NCAA tournament.
Yes. Being the new guy here, I've had a bunch of people walk up to me and say, hey, how do you feel about us doing brackets and stuff? And
sure.
I'm like, hey, yeah, go for it. It's a big thing. I've got one ready to go.
I see that.
You know, I don't know if I've ever really done good on these, but I feel like this may be the winner. So.
Oh, is this it? Is this it? I'm kind of look over your shoulder because I haven't done mine yet.
I have all number one seeds going.
That's how I would usually be.
My dad went to University of Kentucky, so he's in mourning.
Oh, no kidding.
He didn't make the tournament, and then he called me. I was on the way home for work yesterday, and he's literally almost in tears because they didn't win in the NIT as well. So hopefully my dad is in better shape today with Kentucky getting upset like they did.
Yeah, big loss to Robert Morris last night. Well, you along with a lot of other local executives through the Portland Business Journal, filled out these brackets, and this is the first time Michael and I were both talking about this before we started the show today. This is the first time that we have not done a bracket. So I have a lot of, you know, I don't know if I even really want to watch tomorrow morning.
No, we have to get a bracket done tonight. No, we've got to get a bracket done tonight.
You guys must be overworked.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't want a
busy week.
Yeah. You know? I like to hear this.
We haven't had time yet. But, Chris, speaking of timing and busy and lots on our plates, and we do get caught up in the season. We all do. Your first year as president, and you've been super busy since you hit the ground running. Have you had any time to kind of exhale and think about your first off season?
Yeah, I'm starting to. I mean, the first 3 months were really hectic because I was meeting with a lot of people internally and externally. And, you know, in my nature, I just want to try to do a bunch of stuff to improve. You know, I'm looking to improve every day. So right now, kind of taking a deep breath and thinking about strategy and where we're going to go. And I'm excited to get to the end of the season because we've already kind of started our business planning process. But, you know, coming in when I came in, I didn't really get a chance to come in and help build a business plan for the season. And the off season's for building that and the season's for executing what you build. So I'm really excited to get the team together, the department heads together, and talk about what we're trying to accomplish as a business next season. And there's some real excitement, like there is excitement on the court. We have some excitement off the court as well, and a bunch of good workers in our office looking forward to doing some things that are pretty unique for next season.
So one question in terms of R&R in there somewhere, what are the couple of things that you like to do to regenerate away from business? Is it hiking, skiing, boating, fishing?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going fishing Friday with Brian Grant, actually.
Oh, wow.
He's offered to take me fishing, so I'm going to learn what that's all about. So I'm excited about that. You live so close to the river, if you don't fish, I think I should at least try. And I'm not a fisher, but, you know, hopefully I'll like it, and I can maybe do that while I'm in Portland. But I guess, spend a lot of time with my family, for sure. I've got young kids, so anytime I'm away from work, I'm doing stuff with them. And, you know, to get away and, like, decompress, I like running. So I just ran a Shamrock Run this
week. Oh, you did? Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm really getting into trail running, which is something you couldn't do in LA, and there's all these great trails all around Portland. So if I just need to kind of disappear and think, I'll just go do a trail run, which is fortunately in a good city to do that.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
No shortage of trails at all. Yeah. When you go fishing, I grew up on the Oregon coast, just at the mouth of the Columbia River, and Brian's an accomplished fisherman, would always go up there to my hometown in Warrenton and stay and fish for a weekend, but Dramamine.
Yeah.
Very important.
Even on this river?
Yeah,
it's perfectly flat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're just going to go out on the river?
I think. Yeah,
okay,
I hope
okay.
so.
You won't
Don't
need
be scared of
I'm just saying, if you're going out in the ocean, you know, hey, hold on.
Man, I just want to do it from the side.
Drown me on the Willamette?
Yeah, give me a dock and some fishing lure, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, there you go. Good advice.
Yes, absolutely. When you kind of look at the basketball team as a whole, I know you quickly have to become a fan of a team mm-hmm. that you're running, obviously. But with Neil Olshey in place, do you two kind of collaborate and talk about basketball, you know, the on-the-floor product at this point, or you just strictly leave that to Neil right now?
Yeah, just strictly leave it to Neil. We're talking about organizational things. Mm-hmm. You know, Neil's got it well in order in terms of where we need to go as a basketball team, and, you know, he focuses on that, and I focus on everything else, and that's what makes this so good is that we both know our roles and we're working hard to accomplish big things in both areas. So yeah, he handles all that basketball stuff, and you know, I handle all the business stuff, and we collaborate on organizational needs.
Looking at the NCAA tournament, back to that in your bracket, I'm just still glancing at your bracket. Right. I may want to get a photocopy of that. That's how I got through college.
Smart man.
The truth. But the NCAA first and second round games, or second and third round games, are coming to Portland in 2015. Mm-hmm. So as you start looking down the road in your business plan for the Trailblazers, does that come across your plate at all from a planning standpoint?
Absolutely, because we also run the Rose Garden, and I run that as well, and work with that team to develop our event strategy. And, you know, my goal is to bring a wider variety of events into Portland, working with Drew and the Oregon Sports Authority to, you know, help him and partner in that regard. And, you know, whether it's boxing or tennis or figure skating or more college basketball, it's good for Portland. And, you know, we're going to want to partner and bring those types of events in here. We also want to bring in a larger variety of concerts and family shows. Mm-hmm. This is such a great building and it's such a great market. We want to fill it on a night-and-night basis. So we're definitely going to be focusing on that.
So who's in your Final Four? Tell us. You got to tell us.
Louisville.
Ooh, yeah.
What's
eight?
That's an easy one.
Yeah, yeah.
My sleeper's New Mexico.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Little Steve Alford.
Yeah.
Little Lobos.
Indiana, just because, you know, they're Indiana. And then Georgetown.
Ooh, okay.
And I have Indiana winning.
So two number ones and the other two are number twos?
No. New Mexico is a seven, aren't they?
Are they a seven?
Well, let me look here. New Mexico is a three. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to be doing any scouting during the tournament?
No.
No? Say, he would look good in black and red.
Yep. I know what I'm good at, and I know what I'm bad at. Okay. So I'll stick to what I'm good at.
I'm following up on Twitter, and if you've got a question of Trailblazers president Chris McGowan, hit us up now. This coming from I'm just going to kind of scan over these right now. David wants to know, why isn't Myers Leonard starting every game? He needs the playing time, and we're not making the playoffs. Wait. This would have been what is the latest on the naming rights for the Rose Garden, which we just went over. But most of the stuff that that you are seeing with the product on the floor, I know Blazer fans, they're so passionate in this area. And I think I told you a long time ago when I first met you, when I became a Blazer fan was like 1983. You were just getting your feet wet in the NBA at that time. And by the way, we should probably show this to Chris, just so you know that there's proof that Holton did play in the NBA.
But that picture really captures what I did in the NBA.
Don't bend the edges.
I look for other people to throw the ball to. That was my career.
Great form. And then on the back. Look at Holton.
Well, we're really stretching for content now.
No, I just, you know, it's one of those things, Chris, that, you know, when you look at this team, you got some great building blocks with LaMarcus and with Damian Lillard right now. When fans come up to you, what are they most excited to talk about? Is it the product on the floor? Is it the overall experience when they get to the games?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's the way we play. We're never out, and so we play hard till the last whistle, and there's been a lot of dramatic comebacks. Mm-hmm. I think they like that. I think they're really excited about Damian, obviously. That's brought a lot of excitement to the marketplace. So I think they just believe that, you know, we're on a good path, and, you know, they're willing to kind of watch it grow, which is, as a fan, is something that's, you know, fun to do. I got to witness it in Los Angeles where, you know, 5 years ago the Kings were, you know, playing better, but we weren't a playoff team, and, you know, our fans started to see the vision and they really bought into it early. And, you know, when you win a Stanley Cup after fans have watched that process, it makes it that much sweeter. So it's really similar to that, I think, is they see light at the end of the tunnel and that we're headed in a great direction. And as long as they play hard and are good people, This city has proven that they're going to support the team, and you know they certainly have done it this year.
We always talk about track records too. I mean, your track record is pretty amazing because you not only got one, but you got two rings from this last year, the LA Kings and of course the LA Galaxy as well. That alone speaks, and you got the ring. You don't have the ring with you, but we had it up on the.
It was a good year, and you know I can't take credit for it. We had great people at AAG. We had great people on the team side and great people on the business side, and we were led by someone, you know, my mentor, Tim Leiwicki, who, you know, drove the organizations to be very successful, and fortunately I got to watch and learn under him. And you know, we had a lot of years where they were tough. You know, we owned the team for 17 years. It took us 17 years to win the Stanley Cup. There were some great years and some bad years. And, you know, that when we won it, it made it that much sweeter. The Galaxy is a little different proposition. They've been pretty good every year and generally have a chance to win pretty much every season and have won two in a row, which is hard to do in that league. Mm-hmm. But fortunately was able to be a part of that. But, you know, we had a lot of great people there for sure.
That Beckham guy, I think, helped.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Yeah.
Trailblazers team president Chris McGowan joining us in studio tonight. Thank you so much for stopping by and for
anytime.
The time.
Yeah, anytime.
We do appreciate it. And very informative stuff, as always. Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, returns with a visit from Chris Haynes, Trailblazers insider from Comcast Sportsnet, back right after this along the Trailblazers television network, radio network, and, of course, streamed live on trailblazers.com. Trailblazers Courtside, Adam Bjarnes and Michael Holton with you this Wednesday night. And we are keeping tabs on the happenings going on over on the shores of Lake Erie as I refresh the computer. You know, LeBron returning to Cleveland tonight, Michael. They had won 23 in a row. They've still won 23 in a row because the game's not over yet. But holy cow, it is 67-40. Wait, updating?
No, it's 74-65. Miami's down 9.
Oh,
Miami getting ready to get it done.
Right.
Miami's getting ready to get it done.
We had Chris on, and they were buried, and you thought that the knife was being twisted in as LeBron was going to go back and torture them and get win number 24. Now they're only down by 6, 74-68 in the third quarter. How long do you think that stretch is? Second longest stretch, by the way, in NBA history, second only to the Laker team from the, well, a long time ago when they won 33 in a row, 71-72.
But to me, the more interesting thing about Miami right now is Jason Terry had some comments about the streak saying, we don't care, it's not a big deal. And then he got posterized by LeBron.
Yeah, how important is – but this is – in this day and age, Michael, in professional sports where 23 games in a row is really impressive.
Very, very, very difficult to do at any level.
All right. Well, last night in Milwaukee, tough one to watch in the first half. Portland couldn't get anything going, whether it was offensively or defensively, and it's the same issues, Michael, that just keep popping up. It's that lack of interior defense. What gives right now with this team, and can it be changed with 15 games to play here for Portland?
Well, I think Terry Stotts is continuing to look for energy. And, you know, when you talk about defense and you talk about the front line, I think Myers Leonard and his development is cornerstone in these last games, because Myers Leonard is obviously a big part of the Trailblazers' future, and he's also of the skill set needed right now to address the glaring deficiency, which is defending the rim.
Coach Stotts had to ride many of his starters. He said that he was riding five guys, and in this postgame press conference called out six guys, said it was my starters, and then Luke Babbitt, of all people, who was the sixth guy who was really playing key minutes late in the contest that really helped Portland get back into it. Who would have thought that Luke Babbitt would have been that sixth guy?
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If you can score without dribbling, you can play forever, yeah. First of all. And as long as they play this game with a scoreboard and you can shoot the basketball, you have value.
Well, anything's possible at this point. We've talked about this ad nauseum. The Trailblazers' strength of schedule is the most difficult, and it has been for the last week to 10 days. From here on out, the Blazers will not be facing a team that has a record worse than they do right now. In Portland at 31 and 35 or 36. right now. The team that, as you see right here, 15 games remain, strength of schedule ranked first. It's pretty incredible that this is the way that the schedule kind of...
But you know what happens, Adam, right now, or what is happening to the Trailblazers is you want to continue to manufacture enough points to win games. And so the energy on the offensive end is understandable. But it takes stops, particularly on the road against good teams. You have to have a series of defensive stops to be able to get W's.
So you look at this, 15 games to go. What are the Blazers, realistically, in these final 15 games, you would have to think they've got to go 12-3 or something like that.
Well, if you go back, for me, go back to the preseason predictions, sometimes you got to widen the lens a little bit. When you get in the eye of a few defeats and the emotions and what it feels like, sometimes you get kind of uptight and you don't think clear.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've been there. But if you go back to the beginning of the season when you said the Trailblazers would win 35 or they would win 37, and then you look at where they are, you go, oh, they're 5 or 6 wins away from where I said they'd be. Is it possible?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that, look, they have exceeded everyone's expectations this year, and it's fun because they have been in every game. Even in games when you don't think they're going to be in, the Blazers somehow, towards the end, do make it happen. And there you go. 31-36 are the Blazers, 4 games back of the 8th spot, currently held by the L.A. Lakers. All right, Chris
Haynes
is coming up next. And Chris McGowan said he was going to be the most important Chris on this show tonight. He said that in passing.
Well, and I think we agreed with him.
We'll bring that up to Chris Haynes, Comcast Sportsnet Blazer Insider, coming up right after this timeout. Trailblazers Courtside brought to you by Pacific Power returns right after this timeout. It's Trailblazers basketball at its best. Grab your friends and family and go to a Bi-Mart value game with tickets starting as low as $10. It's the best affordable entertainment in town. And the next Bi-Mart value game is Wednesday, April 3rd, when we take on Memphis. So call today, 503-797-9600, or visit trailblazers.com. Updating you on that game going on in Cleveland. It's all tied now at 77. Interesting thing about this.
Wow.
Yeah. They trailed by 27. Sound familiar? Blazers trailed by 27 last night. The Heat had a 10-point second quarter. We had an 8-point second quarter last night. I'm just saying, it's out there. Even the great Miami Heat can put together, you know, bad quarters and then rise up, climbing.
So you can come back from down 27.
They're off to a 9-0 start in that fourth quarter. All right, pleased to be joined as we hit the phone lines, and let's go off to the Windy City because that is where Chris Haynes is located, Trailblazer insider for Comcast Sportsnet. Your last long road trip of the year after this one, the furthest east you're going to go is Denver, and I know that feels good, doesn't it, Haynes?
Going to Denver, huh? Well, Adam, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on the show because, you know, if you don't bring me on the show, Mr. Holton wouldn't speak with me otherwise. So I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, well, we got to get, you know, that feeling from off the road. Chris, you're in the Blazer community. You're at the game. You're around these guys. What's the mood of the team?
I think it's a level of frustration last night finally set in. You look at the other previous games, the other previous losses, and there was always hope. They still have hope. I don't want to, you know, put the wrong thing out there, but that hope is dwindling. And you can see it from, you know, Terry Stotts' post-game comments after last night's game in Milwaukee. I've never really seen him that, you know, flustered before. You know, they talked about 6 guys, how proud he was of those 6 guys and how they fought and clawed back to make that game interesting last night. And, you know, I just never seen him really in that type of a mood. That's not saying that this team is giving up hope, but I think they finally realized, they're coming to realization that, hey, they're a couple of losses away from being out of this thing totally, being the playoff picture. So I think it's finally starting to hit home, but it's still, you know, they're still mathematically not eliminated. There's still hope. So right now, that's what they're going to lean on.
And Chris, the same things just continue to hurt this team for Portland, and it is on the defensive side of the ball. They arose again last night. Is this just a case of not, at this point, having the right personnel on this roster to have a guy who's going to be a rim protector, have a guy who can clog that paint on the defensive end of things?
There's no doubt about it. You know, this is what's going to be a concerning issue all season long. You look at J.J. Hickson. He's having a phenomenal year, a double-double man. He should be well taken care of over the summer. But that's not what the Blazers really need at that position. Of course, the double-doubles are nice, but what they lack is interior defense, guys. I mean, guys are getting into that paint, and usually point guards slash and get into the paint. They have to throw up a pretty high floater to get that ball up over the outstretched arms of a defender. No, not against the Blazers right now. You get to that point, you can finish with a nice layup or, you know, you can probably get a dunk in there. That's not supposed to happen. You know, that's not supposed to happen. And right now, the Blazers don't have that. Myers Leonard's still trying to develop into that. You know, he's a big man. He's athletic. But a lot of times, he's not in the right places at the right time. His defensive awareness still is a work in progress. So that's something that the Blazers, I'm pretty sure, are going to try to shore up during the offseason. But as of right now, with the personnel that they have on the court right now and on this roster, they're just not the type of ball club that's going to be blocking shots and protecting that.
Chris, let me ask you a question about that, because, A, I agree with you, but, B, I want to get you to – I'm going to pin you down here a little bit.
Here he goes.
Let me just cut right to the chase. So when you lack depth as a basketball team and you get deep in the season like this, you know, I think consciously or subconsciously guys start pacing themselves. They start selecting where they're going to use their energy. Because, yeah, it'd be great to have a guy in there 7 feet that's fly swatting shots. But at the end of the day, you can still have a no layup rule in effect. You can still foul when guys get you in bad position. But guys that are pacing themselves in terms of minutes don't take those type of fouls. So my question, when Terry Stotts made his comment about the six guys, I read something into that. I didn't know how to make sense of it, but it was definitely a different type of comment coming from Terry Stotts than we'd seen all year. My question to you, Chris, is was Terry Stotts pointing out six guys and complimenting them, was it an indictment of everybody else on the roster for what they're not bringing, or was it a question about depth in general?
I would say this. I think that with the addition of Eric Maynor, you know, over the trade deadline, the benches played just night and day compared to the beginning of the year. You talk about Myers Leonard. He's gotten better. You know, he's getting in transition. He's being more active. And so, you know, the bench is not the same bench as it was before. And so going into these back-to-back games, this crucial five-game road trip, I think Stotts has a little bit more confidence in this bench. And the fact that the starters play, you know, close 40 minutes that, you know, in that game in Philadelphia, he was expecting and hoping that his bench last night would be able to help him relieve some of those minutes. And the fact that he wasn't able to put them out for long stretches, he didn't have confidence in them in that game, you know, it was a little disheartening to him. You know, that's something he wasn't expecting that. He was hoping that he'd be able to spell and get Damian Lillard, LaMarcus Aldridge, guys like that, a little bit more rest. He wasn't able to do that, thus leaving those guys out there for long stretches, longer periods of time than what he wanted. And the fact that they were able to come back after a 27-point deficit and make that game interesting, that just speaks volumes to those six guys, including Luke Babbitt, which was a surprise. And so I think he has a little bit more faith and confidence in his bench, and I think that's why it was such a letdown last night, the fact that they weren't able to bring what he was hoping they would bring to the last night's game.
Chris, one of the most intriguing storylines of this summer coming up is going to be what the Blazers do with J.J. Hickson. Every Blazer fan around here is probably, you know, with the same line of thinking, saying this guy just hustles his tail each and every night. He deserves a chance to be back. But the question always exists is what type of player will he be once he gets that paycheck? Do you think, I mean, what are the odds? We did not think that he was going to be coming back even for this season. The Blazers made that signing late. Is there any chance in your thinking that J.J. Hickson will be back on the Blazers come next season?
Yeah, there's a slim chance, but I really don't think he's going to be back. You know, J.J.'s said it time and time again. He's a four, man. He's playing out of position. He would like to play his natural position. even though I think personally he can fly to playing the center position because he just outworks the big man quicker. You know, he gets off his feet faster than most big men in this league. But he wants to play the four. He will probably be, if the Blazers brought him back, he will probably have to come off the bench here in Portland because the Blazers need a real man. They don't necessarily need somebody that's going to give them a double-double, but they need somebody that's going to give them 2.5 blocks a game. J.J. doesn't do that, and I don't think he's ready to accept, not on this team, I don't think he'd be willing to accept a bench role on this team considering the awesome play that he's shown out throughout this course this year. So to answer your question, I don't think he'll be back next season.
Well, it's interesting, though, Chris, because when you look at a guy playing out of position, sometimes it's hard to transition to what that role would be if he was a four on this team. And guys are amazing in what they're willing to do once they get their name on the dotted line and the contract is not an issue anymore. My question is, how well do you think J.J. Hickson can defend the four spot? He gives up too much at the five spot against the top-tier centers in the league, clearly. But how well can he defend the four spot?
I think he'll be okay. He's never been labeled as a terrible defender. He's just been somebody who's not known for defending. I think that's a distinct difference right there. He would definitely. I don't know because last couple of years he's been playing unmotivated, and these last two seasons season and 20 something games they played with the Blazers, he's been motivated. He came over here last year trying to show the league that he can play, had a really good stretch. The teams wanted to find out. They weren't sure if they were going to offer him the money that he was looking for. And so, free agency, he whipped and came back here. And now he for a whole total season showing that, hey, I can play consistent. It's still going to be that question, just like Adam said, it's still going to be that question that, hey, if we pay this guy his money, will he stay motivated? When you talk about that four position, I don't know. I can't read the future, but I know that is his natural position. I don't know if that's the best position for him because, like I said, he's definitely thriving, having a career year this season. And so I think it's going to be what J.J. wants to do, regardless if he's better at the four or five. It's going to be what he wants to do, what type of role he's willing to accept. And as of right now, I don't think he's willing to go any further as a five-man or go any further as coming off the bench for him.
Then it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Portland Trailblazers. Clearly, there's opportunity, there's salary cap money, and depending on if the team makes the playoffs or not, there could be a high draft pick involved. But if J.J. Hickson is not a part of the Trailblazers' future plans, then not dealing them at the deadline, if you look back, doesn't look like a great decision.
Well, they had to see what he can do. He came aboard. He's definitely playing well. But I think one thing that J.J. Hicks has shown that, hey, he's shown his strength, but he's also shown his weakness. And the Blazers have also noticed what they lack. And so what they lack is interior presence. And that's something they need. That's something J.J. can't solve for them right now. So they got to touch and feel to see where they're at with this team. And unfortunately, I just don't think J.J.'s going to be a part of it past the season.
Chris, real quick, do we have a status on the update of Victor Claver and that ankle? Is he going to be back anytime soon? Do we know?
No, he's not going to be back on his road trip. Him or Sasha Pavlovic. So no, I don't expect him.
Okay. All right. Trailblazers insider Chris Haynes joining us from Chicago. Anything good on for dinner tonight?
I'm just ordering in. I'm keeping it low key. It's third city and three nights. So, I'm going to keep it low key, stay in the hotel, get some rest, and get ready for tomorrow.
Life on the road continues. But it's almost done, my friend. Chris, thank you so much.
Yes, sir. You don't have to remind me. Yes, sir.
All right. Chris Haynes, Comcast Sportsnet, Blazers insider joining us tonight. Very informative stuff. And, that's what we want from Chris. Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, returns right after this on the Trailblazers Television Network, Trailblazers Radio Network, and, of course, streamed live on the World Wide Web, trailblazers.com.
Bucket.
Look at that. Diesel. Bucket. Baby Diesel.
Did Holton ever have one of these, though? Ever have a bobblehead?
No, I don't have a bobblehead.
That's money. I love the trend. Now, tell me how Captain Rich Patterson, he bought how many of these and how much did he get them for?
He bought 10 of them for a dollar. It's a really good value.
10 for a dollar. Kids, go on eBay or Amazon.
Those of you on the radio, we're talking about my trading card, my Charlotte Hornet trading card that is only 10 cents. And I'm willing to sign it to try to get the value up to maybe 15 cents, 20 cents.
Adam Bjarts and Michael Holton with you. Trailblazers courtside this Wednesday. We just did a little update on that score over in Cleveland. It is
91-86 Heat with 4 minutes and 16 seconds
there
to go.
Is. Why did mine get flipped back?
The Cavaliers have scored 9 points in 8 minutes.
Yikes. Well, there you have it. How busy do you think this summer is going to be? The Blazers are going to have all kinds of cap flexibility. It's a question I wanted to ask of Chris Haynes. Didn't have time for it, but let me ask you. This is going to be a busy summer. Neil Olshey is – he comes across as the type of guy that wants – doesn't want to wait around for a year or two. He wants to find instant success right away with this team.
Yeah, I think Neil – and, you know, I knew Neil before he got this job and came here from when he was in Los Angeles – And Neil is a deliberate guy, and he's a decisive guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll lay in the cut, he'll watch, he'll assess, but when he makes decisions, they will be decisive.
The other question is, why isn't Myers Leonard starting every game? This coming from David on Twitter, says he needs the playing time, and we're probably not making the playoffs. Myers Leonard, at this point, over the course of the next 15 games, you want to see more of him, but does it need to be in a starting role? Does it just need to be? There are times when you watch Myers, it looks like he's just completely turned a corner, and then there's other times where he comes back and it looks like it's his first game.
Here's what people have to understand about the development of players, and particularly bigs. You got to be careful developing them too fast. Now people, you know, if the Blazers aren't going to the playoffs and Myers Leonard needs to start and play 40 minutes, I mean, he needs to really get thrown out there because there's no experience like game experience. And I understand that conversation, but you can reach a point of diminishing returns in terms of confidence. There's a learning curve that you want to be aware of. And developmentally, you want to stay pretty close to that learning curve. I think the learning curve is more steep for big guys than it is for guards. Because guards have the ball to keep them comfortable and confident.
To keep them company. Well, it sounds like it's the right approach right now. And the Trailblazers, you know, 15 games to kind of see what they've got in the cupboard. For next season. Our final break, when we get back, we will talk about the Chicago Bulls, who are tomorrow's opponent. We will touch on that. Get you the crew list for tonight, and then we'll take a look at the captain's cam. Trailblazers courtside.
Are we going to shoot baskets?
How does a 51-14 run treat you, Miami? That's what they just put together. They're now leading 95-88 under 3 minutes to play on the shores of Lake Erie. Adam Bjarts and Michael Holton with you. Final segment. We look at the Chicago Bulls, tomorrow's opponent for the Blazers. Now, they're a team, Michael. They're kind of like Memphis in terms of how they play. Great rebounding, great defense. They don't score a ton of points, and they don't need to really, even with the absence of Derrick Rose.
Yeah, the thing about Chicago, though, that the Trailblazers have to be mindful of is they have a few players that aren't great statistically that can go for big numbers, like a Nate Robinson. You know, all of a sudden he gets hot and starts coming at you and gets full of confidence. And that's the X factor in the game with the Bulls, because you know what Carlos Boozer, Lual Deng, you know what those guys are going to do. But it's the Nate Robinsons, those type of players.
The mini microwaves.
Exactly.
All right. So tomorrow, the one thing we always bring up, how do you get off to a better start if you're Portland? Do you just
– you know what, I think
– take some smelling salts before the game.
No. I think it's early effective and efficient ball movement. Okay. When you come down and you run a set that's got three or four options, you get deep in the clock, everybody gets involved, cutting and passing and getting a touch.
Trailblazers crew list for tonight, TV producer Adam Willis, director Garrett Strudler, video Greg St. Martin, graphics it's Kim Anderson, on audio Corey Griffin, cameras it's Buck and Curry, engineer Bruce Williams, Justin Malters, the online coordinator, and the producer, the one and only Cap. Let's see it, Cap. There it is.
Captain's Cam, respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Find
Cap's
out
got
what it.
It
means to
Good
me.
Good stuff. Oh, look at him. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He was playing some 70s cuts in there earlier.
Hey, Cap, yeah, he's playing some stuff I don't recognize. But Cap got some DJ in his background. I don't think people know.
Oh, yes.
Maybe
next time that we host, he'll bust out the picture with him and Debbie Gibson, circa 87.
Now, what impressed me was when you and Cap were back there naming songs from the 70s in three notes.
I'll take that for 100. Trailblazers courtside for this Wednesday. Thanks so much for watching. We'll talk to you tomorrow when the Trailblazers visit the Windy City, hoping to get the first of perhaps three wins on this road trip. See you tomorrow, everyone. Have a good night.